3, 2, Log Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Joe Cristiano, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, your independent streaming internet radio station and libertarian voice, broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to around the world. This broadcast is being brought to you on Thursday, May 10, 2007. It's now 6:30 Central Time in the United States. Folks, Liberty Talk Radio is your antidote to popular talk radio. Here you are expected to do more than just listen. You are expected to think. Although we broadcast from the United States, libertarian principles of individual freedom and responsibility are universal and apply to your area of residence, be it New York, Bangkok, Berlin, or Stalingrad. It's time for us to take control of our government now, before this bureaucratic, oversized, self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Well, good morning, everyone. During our live broadcast, which will be between 6:30 and 7 o'clock this morning, we invite you to call 646-652-4620, and we'll take your comments over the air. At other times when we're not broadcasting, you may leave a voice message at area code 903-551-2186 and leave a voice message. Of course, you can send us email at any time to comments@libertytalkradio.com. We'll try to respond to your questions during our next broadcast. In addition to accessing Liberty Talk Radio from our website, you may now access our broadcast from blogtalkradio.com/Liberty Talk Radio. I encourage you to get educated. Go to my friend Andy's website, mytwocentsonline.com, and the two is a numerical two, mytwocentsonline.com. Andy Parrots, or I mean, I should say, he compliments much of what we say here. From a financial perspective, very interesting. In fact, he has invited me this evening to be his guest, so I'll be calling in at Central Time, 7 o'clock this evening, to his broadcast, and I guess I'll be on the air. We're going to reverse roles this evening. That's kind of exciting for me. Well, very good. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for being here this morning. As usual, I have a quip or a sound-off when I first start off, and I want to start on something that I did not anticipate. Something dramatic happened to me this week, which I don't wish to experience again, but worked out very well. And bear with me for one moment, please, until you hear the story and how it ties in. I was driving my company truck, which someone left at my house, the technician left at my house, so I had to bring it back to the office. I do still work part-time. I still help my own little company. And I go past a light, an overpass, and going just about 25, maybe 30 miles an hour, when a young girl, school girl, darts out in the middle of the street and runs right in front of my truck. I knew I was going to hit her, possibly kill her. I knew that. I didn't see a way of avoiding her. If I swerved either way, I would have hit her worse. I slammed on the brakes and I missed her. And I stood there frozen for a few seconds. No, I didn't. I didn't actually stop the truck. I mean, I stopped the truck and then I just continued going. But I was frozen behind the wheel, if you know what I mean. What I couldn't believe is that I missed her. She was so close to the truck, she was almost, I almost felt her going to hit the windshield. But somehow, I missed her. Upon driving to the office, very shaken, I walked into the office, and I mentioned that to the first people that I saw. And that was my wife's receptionist, and in fact, a patient waiting because my wife and I, we share this big office. I have the back portion, and she's an audiologist, and to a patient sitting there. And obviously very rattled, telling the story. My wife's receptionist said, I guess her guardian angel was with her. Now, surprisingly, or surprising to most people, that upset me a little bit. And let me explain why. We, in our belief systems, the way we think here in America, we give credence to things we do not understand and may not even exist. It would be nice to know that we all have a guardian angel. But we all see the picture of the child walking across a crickety little suspension bridge and the guardian angel guiding the kid across so she or he doesn't fall through the slats. We've all seen that picture. So it's and this is the image that we have. And I thought in a way that was a very kind thing to say. In another way, it was a very cruel thing to say. And there was a reason for that, for my thinking at least. Because we're giving credence to something that we believe in, but nothing that we know. Here's what we do know. We do know that there was someone who invented ABS brake systems, the type that allow you to stop even on wet pavement or prevent you from skidding and stops you a lot shorter and a lot faster than conventional brakes. There are tire manufacturers developing tires that can grip almost as well on wet pavement as they could on dry pavement. There are car engineers making our automobiles a lot safer, so they break down less, they work more assuredly, and they stop faster. Now, I can go on with the laundry list, and it's probably endless when it comes to the automobile, of the number of people who in reality were responsible for that young schoolgirl being alive today. Added to the fact that I was not drunk, that I got adequate sleep the night before, that I was alert, and that I acted appropriately. I wasn't on my cell phone. I wasn't drinking coffee or having a donut while she darted across the street. Not that I don't do that. I do that. But I was lucky that time that I did not. Now, where do we give credit? We give credit to something we do not understand, have never seen, and in reality really doesn't exist. We give all the credit to this young girl's guardian angel. That really angered me, because it's a very ignorant thing to say. Very ignorant. But that's not the point. The point is that if this is the way we think, how do we think about our government, the people in office? To me, we're thinking the same way. We're attributing attributes to people because they may be a Christian and maybe not a Muslim. Because they look good, because they say the right thing, because they make us feel warm and cozy. But then they don't say anything that's factual nor very intelligent. And then we vote for them and we can't figure out why we have the wrong people in office. Another example of that thinking is when a neighbor of mine contracted cancer. Went to MD Anderson in Houston and the whole bit. Got a call back from someone who's very close to her and said she went through months of therapy, transfusions, you name it. And I received a call from my other neighbor who said, she's in remission. Our prayers have been answered. That got me angry. Where is our thinking? Why didn't we give credit to the doctors, to the researchers, to the equipment manufacturers, to the people, to the nurses, to the aides, to the people who were directly responsible for her surviving? But no, we discount all of that. And the reason we give for her survival is that my prayer, God listened to me and made her live, allowed her to live. The audacity, the ignorance, the pompousness. And ladies and gentlemen, that's how we elect our officials. And I'm angry. Now, for those of you who want to argue guardian angels, I allow me to submit to you that every year, millions upon millions upon millions of children are brutally killed and sacrificed around the world, and some even in the United States. But sometimes, in some countries, wholesale, thousands at a clip, young kids, for no reason whatsoever, other than for political reasons, or religious reasons, or tribal reasons. And of these millions and millions and millions of killed every year that are brutalized, murdered, and tortured, I ask you, the believer of guardian angels, where are their guardian angels? Why hasn't there been one out of the millions upon millions upon millions saying, this child was lifted out of harm's way by her guardian angel and taken away and placed in a cornfield in Kansas where a nice farm family has taken her up and is now going to raise her or him? You see, that's never happened because it doesn't happen. Now, I don't want to dispute or discuss whether or not there are guardian angels. That's immaterial. My point is that our thought process here in America is such that we cannot think clearly. Our thinking is so foggy because of all the supernatural mumbo jumbo. I had a person, we were having dinner with a bunch of friends, and I got to tell you this because I think it's incredibly funny, but incredibly sad at the same time. She said, you know, we have new interpreters at work. I said, yeah, at our church. I said, yeah, that's nice. And I said, well, would that be Spanish or which language? She said, tongue. I hope you're laughing, because I stood there and had to bite my tongue. And of course the question is, how do I get that job? How do I try? Which school do I go to? Well, now this person's not a stupid person, but this person believes that without question. Just like we believe without question guardian angels, we believe without question that when I pray to a supernatural being, he, she, or it's going to listen and do what I say. At least 50% of the time, I got a good average going for me. I'm not criticizing religion. I'm criticizing our thinking, our thought process, and the fact that we don't think critically. Now, that being said, may I ask how, with that type of thinking that's prevalent in the United States, and people who ignore that or criticize that are condemned as really bad people, shunted. How do we elect someone logically? How do we elect the right person? In my opinion, we can't. We're still live. It's 15 minutes to the hour. We got 15 minutes left. Please call. This is Liberty Talk Radio. Please call 646-652-4620. That's 646-652-4620. We'd love to have you on the air. And please either agree or please argue with me. If you're listening to this after the broadcast, please call 903-551-2186 or send me your comments to comments@libertytalkradio.com. I will respond next Thursday morning. Sunday evening, most likely, we'll have a guest. Okay. And that's my segue to the Republican debate. What have you heard about the Republican debate? You know, who won? This sounds like, how do you win the war on terror? Who won? Who won what? Who looked the best? I know the answer. Who came across most presidential? We like that. You know, we want a person to look presidential. Whether the person is qualified or not is absolutely immaterial. Whether or not someone developed ABS brakes, good tires, an alert driver, and that whole combination, that's immaterial. It's the guardian angel. And in the debate, it's the same thing, the same totally ignorant thinking of the American public. And if I'm criticizing most of the American public, so be it. I'm not putting myself above anyone. I'm putting myself in a different position than the American public who thinks ignorantly. Not stupidly, ignorantly. Because they are afraid. They are afraid to question their own belief systems. And the belief system does not have to be a Republican or a Democrat situation or a religious situation. It could be anything. I believe Earth is smaller than Mars. How do I know? Well, I've been told that it looks, you know. I mean, I can say anything that I believe, but then I'm afraid to take the next step to verify it. I think I gave this example once before. Some people grow up with, you know, Chevy versus Ford, which is a better car. Some people, damn, Chevy's the best damn car in the world, you know, Ford's a junk, you know. Now, the one thing people who believe, one thing that people of belief, of anyway, again, I'm not talking about religious belief, I'm talking about belief anything. One thing that they avoid are facts. You see, the person who believes a Chevy is better than any Ford being built, or vice versa, whatever the case may be. You take the car and you make your own scenario out of it. I'm sure you also have your own beliefs, and we all have our own feelings about that. The one thing they don't want to know is what Consumer Reports says. Consumer Reports can say that this particular Chevy model is one of those black dot jobs that no one would drive. It's unsafe, you know, just nothing works right on it. And the Ford can have all those red dots, which make it, you know, a consumer best buy. Still, Chevy's better than the Ford. Right? And we do that. This is what's wrong with America's thinking today. Now, how we got there, I don't know. I don't know why we think that way, but I have friends that think that way, and they drive me nuts. We don't argue. I just don't even talk to them. I mean, you can't talk to them because there's nothing to discuss. Now, let's get on to the debate. I found the debate patronizing, insulting, boring. Nothing was said, except for one, and I'm going to go through that one, that was of any significance whatsoever. We used the term flip-flop. People were flip-flopping all over the place. They wouldn't say anything that was of any tangible rational value, but the words were very carefully couched to ensure that they didn't slip up or say something that may lessen or reduce their standing in the polls. And I think we should all be outraged by that debate. It was a sham. I'm taking a sip of coffee. Now, why? Well, how often did you hear, if at all, by the way, any of the candidates talk about protecting the rights of the citizens? Nada, okay? How about protecting our liberty? How about reducing intrusion of government, et cetera, et cetera? No. They all said, well, you know, we need to pass legislation to do this. We need to do more of that. We need to fund this. We need to... It was horrible. They contradicted each other, and no one had a firm platform from which they could make their decisions. Except for one, and you know who that is, Ron Paul. Ron Paul used the word Constitution several times, individual liberties several times, and that's what he focused on. Unfortunately, in my opinion, the general public didn't understand him. What do you mean liberties? I'm a free person. We need the government to protect us. It's like that guardian angel thing. Doesn't make any sense. There's no proof of that. In fact, it's the opposite. And yet we say, well, I think Rudy Giuliani won. Well, he was all over the page. I couldn't follow him at all. He's the last person I would want in his office. I think he believes in one thing one time, one thing another time, and if he believes in the Constitution, he wants to chuck the Constitution. I have no idea. But he takes issue by issue, and he tries to make them sound. Mitt Romney is a mess. I mean, there's a guy who I really think is a robot. You know, someone turns him on and goes, I am running for president. Look how good looking I am. Vote for me. He is horrible. I don't think he stands a snowball chance in hell of winning. And if he does, whatever little faith I have in the system, I'm going to lose. John McCain is a mess. I don't think he has ever said anything that made any sense whatsoever. He's anti-liberty, really for big government and big military, and you damn better like it or else. What kind of president is that? And all the other guys are all over the page. You know, we need to stand firm with the war on terror. What the hell does that mean? Stand firm on the war on badness and bad things. That's what we should do. Now, I want to go over some of the things that at least Ron Paul mentioned that I thought was admirable. And let me say this. There are two issues that I do not agree with Ron Paul. And one has to do with Roe versus Wade and women to choose. He's against that. And I think a woman should have the right to choose. I mean, it's a free country and it's her life. I mean, that's a liberty issue as far as I'm concerned. I think that's why he departs. But I excuse him for that because he has in his book, again, a belief system that, you know, life starts at fertilization and that's his belief system. And I can't fault him for that. I don't agree with him, but I don't fault him. And the other one, I think he's too tough on immigration. I think it's not the immigration issue. It's what we do with the immigrants once they're here in our school system. It's our regulatory system that's really creating the problem. You know, in our welfare system and our nanny state. All right, let me go through this real quickly because we have about 5 minutes. He would immediately dissolve the IRS. He would phase that out because he said, and this is important. He said we need to address the role of government. He says we no longer should look at government as an entity that takes care of us from cradle to grave, and we should stop policing the world, and we should stop printing the money, which creates inflation, and the inflation affects those people on the lower end of the scale, erodes the middle class, but makes the wealthy wealthier. Because if you're an investor, your investments adjust to inflation. If you are poor with no investments, inflation eats into your disposable income. He is absolutely correct. He says, the role of government right now is to police the world, which equals a loss of liberty. No one else said that. He's absolutely on target there. I don't think people understood him. And he said, we fought the Soviet Union that had 40 million, you know, whatever, I mean, how many, 40,000 atomic bombs and rockets and a strong air force and big army and controlled Eastern Europe. I mean, they could have been a formidable threat to the United States. Now we are fretting over small third world countries that have small armies, no navy, no air force to speak of, and no nuclear weapons. And we're at war with them. He's absolutely right. We've gone totally, totally astray. He said, we should not be defending ourselves against these people. We should defend ourselves against government who is taking away our liberties. I don't think anyone understood that, because people believe, people, and when you say you believe, that means I don't know, but I wish it to be so, because if you knew, you wouldn't believe. If you know something, you can't believe it. You've got to believe it. If you believe it, that means you really don't know, but you wish it to be so. We wish it to be so that government is protecting us. It's not the case. Ron Paul, very vocal about, I voted against the war. He says, if we're going to go to war, he says, if we were going to war, we should, you know, we should declare a war. We should plain declare a war as the Constitution allows, you know, and do it for security reasons, not political reasons. He said, no more nation building. We said, no more nation building. That's exactly what we're doing. And he's the only one that says we need to follow the Constitution. And he mentioned the Constitution several times. And his decision to run was a constitutional one, which I thought was interesting. And he said he wasn't for stem cell research because that belongs in the private sector. He said we should not either prohibit it or subsidize it. He's absolutely correct. But you know what the response of the moderator was? Was, oh, I guess you're against it. Well, no, he's not against stem cell research. He's against government subsidy. That's not government's role. Even the moderator did not understand the answer to the question, and I don't think anyone else did either. He would get rid of the income tax, the inflation tax, which is the printing of money, and go to a sound money system. I don't think anyone understood that. And he said he would never violate the rule of habeas corpus. I don't think anyone understood that either. They asked him if he trusts the media. He says, I trust the freedom of expression. And he says, you get most of it on the internet, and he would never have any of that regulated. Ladies and gentlemen, we had Ron Paul talking about freedom, liberty, protection of individual rights, small government, non-intervention, strong defense at home, and yet he was not the one that won, according to the pundits, the debate. He was the only one in the debate. All right, this Sunday evening, we're going to close up now, close down now. This Sunday evening, I'm going to try to get someone to as a guest. As you know, last Sunday, we had Daniel Imperato, who was to be interviewed. He did not show, and neither did he call. And when I called his office, they never returned my calls. Poo-poo on them. I'm not too happy with them, I'll tell you that. Okay? And so our next broadcast will be Sunday at, I believe it will be 8 o'clock Central Time. It'll be for 1 hour if we have a guest, or half hour if we have dialogue. And please call in at that time and leave your message, leave your voicemail to 903-551-2186 at the end of this broadcast, or comments at libertytalkradio.com. And now, here we go back to our bumper song. This is the end of today's broadcast. We'd like to thank Ranch Acres Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends. And let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com or phone in your questions to 903-551-2186. Remember, you are either allowing your liberties to be taken away or you are striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there is no middle ground. Until next time, and that'll be Sunday evening at 8 o'clock, stay well, stay tuned.